Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know you're on the right path when it disappears. Like, that's how you know you're on the right path, because it just goes away. Because, you know, sometimes we struggle so much, like, am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right way? Am I making the right decision? Am I making the right investment? Like, am I going to be okay? Are we going to be okay? The brain is wired for survival, not for happiness, right? So we're constantly looking for ways to create security.
Hello, friends. I'm Rosie Acosta, author, mindfulness teacher, and wellness coach.
And I'm Tessa Tovar, producer, co-host, and your partner in Real Talk for all things wellness and beyond.
Welcome to the Radically Well podcast. This is a space where we break down the messy, transformative moments that make us who we are, because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about embracing the journey.
Every week, we'll tackle the topics no one talks about, but everyone needs to hear, like navigating hormones, aging, relationships, sex, and self-care.
You'll hear unfiltered stories, expert advice, and real, relatable conversations that empower you to reset your mindset, reimagine your health, and show up as your most authentic self. Whether you're here to learn, laugh, or maybe cry a little, this is your space to feel seen, supported, and inspired to live radically well.
So grab your favorite tea, or hey, maybe a glass of wine, and let's dive in.
Let's get radically well. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Radically Well podcast. I'm here with my very beautiful host, Tessa Tovar. So I want to just kind of drop something on your lap or in your ears or wherever you're listening to this. However you want me to drop this information nugget, here it is. A 2021 study found that 52% of people aged 40 to 60 feel they're entering the most meaningful phase of their lives. Well, damn. So today we're talking about thriving in midlife. We're going to talk about purpose. We're going to talk about passion and reinvention. And here's the thing. The most meaningful phase, can we talk about when shit goes wrong? Like, what happens when things fall apart?
Oh, we blame ourselves. We feel like we're failures. We feel like we took the wrong path in life. You know, everything's just like this big, huge, dramatic disaster. Which it might be in that moment, but I think the thing that I keep coming back to in my life, the thing that gives me kind of like that stability that we talk about, is the idea that, and you talk about it too, like we've been there before. We know we can weather the storm. We know how to get back up again. We let ourselves have those feelings. And then we have our day where we have our big girl cry, and then we move on. We continue forward, right?
Yeah, I love that.
We seek out mentors in our communities.
Yeah.
We remember those angels that helped us along the way.
Angels. Yeah.
They're there.
Let's talk about it.
Yes, let's do it.
You know, it's funny. It's like, here's the thing. Okay. I think it's really interesting that, you know, we go through these phases in life, and right now I'm going through, you know, a little upheaval of sorts, let's just say, as of yesterday. And it's funny. I was like on the tread today and I was like, you know, the things that have worked for me before, I have an entrepreneurial spirit. And I love working. And as much as I say, like, the fucking grind, like, I hate grinding as an entrepreneur, you know, as like a solopreneur, the grind, it's the fucking grind. And what's the thing I told you over a decade ago? I'm like, oh, you
gotta
really
have grit.
You gotta have grit. You gotta, you know, and I have to remind myself of that. And, you know, over the last couple of years, I blame it on perimenopause. I got to this place where I'm like, I don't want to grind anymore. Like, I don't want the fight. I don't have the hunger. It's not there anymore.
Remember that conversation.
Right? Yeah. I was like, I just need steadiness. I need stability. Yeah. I need to punch the clock, you know, like I need to be able to just like have some consistency. And, and I got that consistency, you know, and you know, it's always like new level, new devil. You know, and that came with its own different set of limitations and expansions, right? So it's like you've got your limits, you've got your expanses anytime you go into a new opportunity. And so what I learned, you know, back to the story, I was on the treadmill and, you know, this whole podcasting thing when I started, you know, a decade ago. I was so into it. I was like so excited. And you've heard the story before. I've said it to you ad nauseum. I thought that I was going to have at least thousands of downloads. Like I was going to publish and it was going to be like thousands. I'm like, how hard could this be? You know, it was 2015. Podcasting still wasn't as big as it is now. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be amazing. And then when we published it, recording on my H4 Zoom, that Tori had to figure out how to like edit together, you know, old school. And there was like two downloads, right? There was nothing. But then I was able to build and grow and like this community and all these opportunities. And I mean, I got a book deal. I got, you know, like really great jobs out of it. Like it really launched my career as it is now. And I would consider that a win, right?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, going back to this sort of idea of this drive, this sort of that grit, you know, I kind of lost a little bit of that. You know, you kind of get to this place in your life where it's just like your body plateaus, right?
Yeah.
Your body plateaus when you're on a journey. Sometimes your life plateaus. Sometimes your career plateaus as well. And you could either stay in that. I know people that have stayed in that for 20 years. You can be in that state of complacency, state of comfort. But we know, especially as yogis or as, you know, any sort of self-inquiry practice, you can't rest there too long.
Yeah.
Because there's a fall that happens at one point or another. And I don't want to say fall, but there is always some
like
disruption. Yeah, there's some disruption.
The bird got to get out of the nest.
Yeah, got to get fucking push that little fucker out of the nest. That. It's like, get out. Get out there and fucking fly, you know?
Yeah.
And so the reason why I want to give people the context, right? Because I think it's really important because after a decade, I was like done. I'm like, I radically love like the Radically Love podcast. It won awards. Like we got up to millions of downloads. Like it was good, you know, and to me, it felt like it served its purpose. I'm just like, I'm done with it. You know, like I'm ready to move on. I love podcasting. Obviously, this is my favorite medium. I prefer to be behind the camera, if I'm honest, but I love the experience of being able to share conversations and doing it with really incredible people. And when I got this news, you know, this sort of like shakeup in my life happened where
the sort of consistency that I've known, and it's happened before, you know, I've talked about it before. It's like a business deal goes wrong or you make a bad investment and, you know, shit goes south. But what was funny is like, I wanted to kill her so bad, you know this, I know it feels, feels mean to say, I wanted to kill her so bad that like, I'm just like done. I mean, you hosted the podcast for like a year, right? Yeah. Like you did it. And I'm like, I don't want to come back to her. Like, I'm working on other things. I want to focus my energy into other things. But then what happened when this sort of earthquake came in, the first thing that I was thinking was like, well, I could always go back to podcast. I could go back to doing, you know, what I do. And to me, it's like, this is re-inspiring to me. This is, this is exciting. It makes me happy. It brings me joy. Like I love doing this so much. But what happened in my brain was me saying to me, look who's come crawling back. Like, aww. You know, it's like, yeah, like, you know what you need to do, right? Like, you know, the grind, like, you know what it is. Mm-hmm. You can't reap the rewards without doing the work. You know, it's like, it's that saying, everybody wants the view, but nobody wants to climb.
Yeah. You gotta be willing to take the risk.
You gotta be willing.
It's a big risk to be an entrepreneur. I think it takes some gravitas. It takes some iron balls, as we say at home.
We love iron balls. We love balls here.
Yes. Fan of balls.
We love them.
So it does, though. I mean, it's an interesting conversation. I was talking to my husband a couple of weeks ago about this idea of feeling like kind of like a failure in my life recently.
Let's talk
and,
about it.
You know, because I'm going through perimenopause, as we know.
Let's bring it back to the hormones. Your hormone besties.
Yes, your hormone besties. Here we are. And it's this stage in your life where it's like, it's a mental mind fuck. Like, holy shit. It's a roller coaster that I'm learning how to ride, full of ups and downs, and learning how to embrace my emotions through that, which I've been squashing down for decades. So they're all coming back up to the surface with this vengeance. So the thing that I'm trying to get to is, here's an example. I was at a funeral, for a man who I just loved dearly, who actually played a huge role in my life and my husband's life. When we were in our 20s, he helped. Have I told you the story about how Jorge got a job?
No.
He was fresh
like
out
back
of,
in college?
Yeah.
When you guys
he
met?
Just graduated. It was 2009, the height of the recession.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Graduated in one of the worst economic depressions of our generation. And we had just moved up to Seattle. And he was trying to get a job. Nobody wanted to take a chance on a Mexican kid without any job experience. And I got a job right away. I had a job prior to that at a law firm. So I had a little bit of experience under my belt. He just kept going on interviews and interviews and interviews. And one night at my job, I was working at a venture capital firm. We were having a wine soiree and we had all of our managing directors come in, and one of our sommeliers didn't show up. So we had all this wine, but we had no one to talk about it to our investors. And my managing director was like freaking out because this is, you know, high stakes when you're working for venture capital. You're talking about a lot of money. And so Jorge has a background in working in the restaurant industry. He knows how to talk about wine. He doesn't drink it himself, but he knows how to talk about it. So he rushes down the hill. We were living up in Capitol Hill, and I was working down at the bottom in downtown Seattle. So it literally took him like 10 minutes to get there. And he gets behind this wine station, and one of my bosses comes up and starts asking him about the wine. And my boss had no idea that Jorge was my husband or that he didn't know anything about wine. He just like charmed the pants off of my boss.
And he's so charming.
He is very charming.
Yes.
I call him the life of the party, especially back in the day when we were in our 20s. And so sometimes I call him Fun Bobby because I don't know if you get that Friends reference, but we went through a party stage and then we got into our 30s and 40s and that changed. Anyways, I digress. So the next day, later on in the party, I was like, oh, you met my husband. This is Jorge. And my boss was like, what? This isn't the sommelier. I'm like, no, the sommelier didn't show up. This is Jorge, my husband. He's just filling in for us. And my boss was just like blown away that this kid could just like show up and this gravitas, this grit, just like stand in a role that wasn't his area of expertise and just kind of like fly by the seat of his pants. And so the next day he came into the office and he's like knocking on everyone's door. And he's like, you got to meet this kid. He is just, we got to get this kid a job because Jorge didn't have a job. We were living off of my salary. We were taking care of his family. It was just, like I said, we were trying to make ends meet, you know? So let me fast forward. So this boss that got Jorge his job, launched his career, like is where he is today, very successful, learned a second language, doing business in the United States, he passed away. And this was a man that he was just like that. Like he would see somebody pumping gas at a gas station and be like, what do you want to do with your life? Wow. And he would help that person go do that thing with their life.
Yeah.
And he was just an incredible, incredible man. Okay. So the point of this story is, I know I'm getting there. We were at his funeral in Seattle a couple weeks ago. And mind you, I'm going through perimenopause and EMDR, by the way, which is another topic. Oh, I'm super emotional. Jorge gets up at the funeral of my boss and tells this story I just told you. And I was having this conversation with myself while I was watching Jorge do that about how as all of these things, as a man in society, he has a voice. As a man in society, people want to hear his story. As the person he is, who has the confidence that he does, he felt secure enough in himself to go up there and share his story. And I sat there behind him and like had this conversation with myself about why am I not going up there and talking about this man who is seminal in our life? How grateful I am. Why can't I go up there and use my voice in front of all these people, in front of his friends, in front of his family, and say, thank you, Tom Huseby, for being who you are and taking a chance on us and believing in us. And after that, I just broke down. I feel like I had this moment where I was like, I don't want to live anymore. I'm a failure. I can't even get up in front of a crowd of people. And like talk. And yeah, here I am and in a podcast platform. And Jorge said this thing to me. He's like, this is what stuck with me out of that conversation. He's like, you have the courage to leave your six-figure job, leave your security and bet on yourself. He's like, do you know how many times people have approached me to do that same thing? And I always said no. And he's like, you did it. And I'm getting emotional now. He's like, I'm so proud of you for doing that. I couldn't ever do that. And he's like, don't ever say that you're not a success. You are. You know, he's right. And it's just crazy to me as women. I think my takeaway for myself from that too, as well, is that how much we diminish our voices and how much we think what I have to say, it's not valuable. Nobody wants to hear me talk about my story. And nothing could be further from the truth, I think. We need to share stories like this about being scared, but doing the hard thing anyways, or about being scared and making the choice not to do the hard thing. And how did you feel as a result of that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm like, I feel you. I'm like right here with you. I mean, obviously we've gone through this same exact thing. And yeah, it's just because I'm like, why would you even think that? And it's exactly right. Like, I would bet on you.
I mean, you do. You're the one that's saying, I'm not going to let you hide behind me, because that's how we started. You're like, Tessa, what's your goal here? You're not hiding behind me forever. And here I am in front of the camera now. After, when did we start working together? In 2020?
No, it was before that.
But in the podcast.
Oh, in the podcast. Yeah, it was 2020.
Yeah. So
it took about 4 years, 5 years
to get out here.
Not long, but like, God, like I love what you're saying. And I mean, I get emotional, obviously, because I know you, and I know how courageous you are and just how brilliant you are. And I think that's important. You talked about your mentor. What's his name again?
Tom Huseby. Yeah.
We should dedicate this episode to Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's really important to have people bet on us, mm-hmm. you know, because I feel like, I mean, I wouldn't be here if people didn't bet on me, you know, like, I mean, we're talking, how does a child grow up in the hood with literally no mentors, nobody that's doing it? It's like your aspiration is the Cuban drug dealer across the way. And it's like, you come from a family of like narcos. It's like, what is my goal in life? You know, it's like, what do? You know, and for me to have had the right angels show up at the right time in those right moments, and now for me, it's like, yeah, like what is the fucking definition of success? Like, what does that even mean? What does that even look like? And even taking it into this sort of like, you know, place of spirituality or, you know, faith. It's like so many teachings show us this concept of being able to just trust, right? There's this, oh man, I don't even want to say it because it's like going to make me emotional, because I was thinking about it last night in the middle of the night when I woke up, right? Like this thing about, you know, you're on the right path when it disappears. Mm-hmm. Like that's how you know you're on the right path, because it just goes away. Because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we struggle so much, like, am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right way? Am I making the right decision? Am I making the right investment? Like, am I going to be okay? Mm-hmm. Are we going to be okay? The brain is wired for survival, not for happiness, mm-hmm. right? So we're constantly looking for ways to create security. Mm-hmm. And we know that that doesn't exist. I mean, I hate to say it, but like, you can work a 9-to-5 job, you can get let go. Yeah. You know, to me, I've found that this sort of life as an entrepreneur, scary as it is, for me has always been more comforting, maybe because I did grow up in that sort of dysfunction of the not knowing. Mm-hmm. You know, Tori would always be so fascinated by how I would just jump into things. And he's like, fuck, like, what would have happened if you hadn't got that? Or like, if you hadn't done that? And I'm like, don't know. Didn't think about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't an option. You know, I've just always been wired that way. And so I'm thinking about this a lot lately, mm-hmm. you know, this process of transforming and going through hormonal changes, physical changes, emotional changes, even spiritual changes. And for me and for us, like this whole idea of work and career and projects like this, like, you know, we really have to jump in and not know what the fuck is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that could be really debilitating for people. And so like what I was saying before is, you know, you're on the right path when it disappears, you know? And so this story that I really draw from when I'm feeling like lost, it's this poem, it's called Lost. Mm-hmm. And the David Wagoner is this, you know who it is.
I know this.
Yes. Oh my God, it's yes. such a great, it's yes. such a great poem and story. And essentially it's mm-hmm. the story of this elder, Native American elder in the Pacific Northwest to two young adolescents, I'm going to say kids, mm-hmm. that say to him, you know, what do we do in the forest when we're lost? Mm-hmm.
you know, like, how do we know where to go? Like, where do we, you know, what do we do? Mm-hmm. And he says this. Oh, I'm going to try to not fucking get emotional here. So it's like, this is the advice for when you feel lost. Stand still. The trees ahead and the bushes beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here. And you must treat it as a powerful stranger, must ask permission to know it and it be known. The forest breathes. Listen. It answers. I have made this place around you. If you leave it, you may come back again saying, here. No two trees are the same to the raven. No two branches are the same to Wren. If what a tree or bush does is lost on you, you are surely lost. Stand still. The forest knows where you are. You must let it find you. Right?
I love that poem. I love that poem so much.
It is so, to me, it's like, I can get so heady about things, you know, I get very sort of rigid and I can get very clinical with certain things, right? Because I'm just like, no, we got to keep that line going straight, linear. You know, I when you grow up in chaos, you want
control
and stability.
Yeah.
And so I find that whenever I'm questioning these things about success, where are we going? Especially, let's bring it back to the hormones, right? When we're going through a transition as big as this, mm-hmm. like, where do we go? How do we feel found, mm-hmm. right? Because that's the thing. We feel just completely alone. And I think that as an entrepreneur, as a woman going through perimenopause, as a woman in menopause, just as a woman in general, I mean, you were talking about like sitting there, like wanting to speak. Mm-hmm. So many of us want to speak. We want to have a voice.
Yeah.
And we feel so inadequate. And I feel like, especially when we're going through something really difficult, like a job loss, hormonal changes, relationship changes, we feel completely lost. But what we need to do is to stand still and listen. And I found that for me, all of those answers always find you.
Yeah. Oh, the wisdom and the pause, just that, that moment of pause. And you know, the last time I read that poem, I was actually in the Pacific Northwest in the Forest Park Arboretum teaching a yoga class. And the thing to do, I think, when you feel like everything's shifting underneath you and you do feel lost like that is, at least for me, spend time in nature.
Oh, yes. You're so good at this.
Yeah. It's the thing that ground. I mean, literally, you receive a negative ion charge.
Give people a little bit of, in just like a brief little like, tell us how you go be in nature.
So I love to backpack.
By herself. Sorry, how to say that. There's bears. Okay, we've talked about this before.
Although I've never seen one. But when I say backpacking, I mean, I pack my bag for... like the longest I've done so far is 5 days. And my pie in the sky goal would be to do the PCT, the Pacific Crest Trail, which is a little under 3,000 miles. It starts, typically most people start in Mexico at the southern terminus and finish in Canada at the northern terminus. So you hike through California, Oregon, and Washington. And I mean, there's trails like this that you can do all across the United States, but that one's like in my backyard, you know?
She said it to her backyard.
As it were. And so I've done sections of the PCT. So when I go backpacking, I'll go for 3 to 5 days. Typically, I take all of my food. I take my water filter. I have a Right now, my sleeping device is a hammock, so I have to have trees. So to be kind of strategic about that, because I literally need two trees to be able to sleep at night. And yeah, it's just like it's like a sense of confidence that you gain from knowing that your survival depends on you and everything in your back and your ability to get yourself from point A to point B. And I've always loved looking at maps. Like, I don't know what is this obsession with maps, but like plotting a chart on a map. Let's see, it's a 50-mile hike. I know where my car is and I don't even look at my phone, although there's tons of fabulous apps out there that will tell you where water is and where the best tent sites are, and different hikers will tell you about downed trees and like what to watch out for here. But I just love like that hard copy map. It's kind of like having a book for me. Yeah. Like I love the
we love the tactile book.
But yeah, I just there's nothing like that resets me better. I can't think of anything else that resets me like that. Do you have something like that that resets you?
I mean, when I go, see, it's so funny. It's like I would be terrified. And I love nature. I'm a big nature fan. I love going out. I love hiking. I love doing all that stuff. I've never been backpacking. Like, that's hardcore. And to me, it's terrifying.
It is. I get scared too.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, I listen to a lot of like scary podcasts, especially too, of people disappearing and like the skinwalkers and like all the.
Yeah.
And I grew up with Mexican folklore, you know, like the duendes, like the little elves and stuff. And I get scared, you know, I get freaked
There's
out.
There's legitimate things to be scared of. I mean, it's not, you have to know what you're doing.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? So this is like your reset. And I'm like, well, my reset is I go into the prisons. Like,
that's perspective, right?
Right. It's like I go and I volunteer. I work with this incredible prison project called Re-Evolution. It's all about, it's a rehabilitation project, program, organization, community. Shout out Barbara Vansickle and Parker Chamberlain, who this is literally like this organization that creates this beautiful tapestry of education and connection and support. And so it's a project. It's a rehabilitation project. And I get to, you know, teach mindfulness and sort of teach what I do. And I've been doing it for years. And for me, that's my reset. That's my sort of like, I feel that recharge. And it's also obviously, given my background, it's my way of giving back. You know, it's like, this is why I wanted to even teach to begin with. So it's my way of recharging that. So I don't know. I go to be of service, but I do get something out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, do I love to go on a hike? Do I love to go to the ocean? Yeah, that resets me. That fulfills me. It gives me a bit of respite. But when I'm making that drive back home after being with those kids, you know, and I call them kids because the demographic that we work with is mostly young ones, men and women that, you know, are younger. And I'm so full. Like, I leave there and there are hard days. You know, there are days where I'm just like, wow, like this system is fucked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like I'm very aware of the complexity of doing rehabilitation prison work, obviously. And I'm not going to get into that, but I really feel like when you're able to be of service in a way that you just get to show up and give somebody time and energy and space, it's what gives me life. Like it's, you know, and I feel like with this podcast, you know, talking about wellness and focusing on women's health and women's issues and really sort of digging into these conversations, it also fulfills that, you know, it gives me that sense of, there is a purpose here. You know, there is a bigger picture and we're lacking in these conversations. And I just want people to be able to feel like, you know, they matter and that we all have something to contribute to the world, you know?
Yeah.
So how did we get there? We were supposed to have a conversation about something else, and now here we are, but this is great. Here's what I think today's conversation's been about. I think it's been about how we relate to career and transitions in the midst of hormonal changes.
Yeah. I mean, big shifts, like big earthquakes, shifts. The ground moving beneath your feet, trying to find stability amongst that, or the illusion of finding stability.
And here's the thing, and allowing yourself to have those like mental breaks where you're like, I have a psychotic break, like allowing ourselves to have your feelings, you know, like I had a big sad girl cry yesterday, a couple of them. It kind of came and went. I'd go from, damn, feeling really bummed and really sad. And then I was fucking happy. And I'm like, I'm a fucking bad bitch. Like, I don't give a fuck, you know, like I have dealt with worse. I've dealt with worse. I've been through worse, and it could be worse. Right?
Yeah.
And so ultimately, like, I get from that place of like, yeah, but then I'm like, okay, my sort of psychology brain comes in and is like, don't bypass your feelings. Feel your feelings. Are you bypassing? And I'm like, okay, no. Mm-hmm. I'm just going through the waves. I mean, it is a roller coaster, you know, of emotions that we go through. And I think it's really important for us to be able to give ourselves the space, the care, putting that mask on yourself before you help other people, mm-hmm. right? And just giving yourself the opportunity to... Those emotions have to go somewhere, okay?
Yeah.
If you don't let them out of your face, where are they going to come out of?
Ooh, you don't even want. You don't even want to know. Yeah, they do. They do need. It's so important.
Yeah.
Find that space that's like safe for you to scream, have your rage, have your big girl tears, like do your big huge cries. It's so.
Yeah.
So necessary.
I think for next week's episode, we should talk about stress and anxiety and mental wellness. I feel like that was a big conversation today. And I think we should really dig into that next week.
Ooh, I love that conversation. Let's do it.
You love that conversation for us?
I do. Well, and for everyone that's listening, because it's so important as a society, as a culture. We need tools to have that be... We need to be able to know how to cry, and we need to be able to know how to use our anger. The emotions are tools. We need to know how to use them.
Yeah. Great. I love that. So for those of you that are watching this, here are the three takeaways from today. I think number one, you are allowed to feel what you feel. Your feelings are valid, and it doesn't make you any less, and you are whole. Number two, you are not lost. You are here. And let here find you. And number three, I don't know what's number three.
I mean, learn to ride the wave. Find that community that supports you in the place where you're at right now. And don't diminish your feelings. Don't gaslight yourself. Your feelings are real. You know, but find that safe outlet and a community who supports you through it. It's not easy work, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you all so much for joining us today on this episode of the Radically Well podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts, and watch us on YouTube. We're trying to like hook up our YouTube channel. So give us a subscribe. Give us a, what is Tori's like? Okay. So by the way, Tori's my partner. For those of you that are new here, he's my longtime partner, which we'll get into relationships later on this season, but he has a podcast as well. We have the same production company. So our production company that we work with, Sapphirus Media, is stellar, incredible, top notch, grade A, 5-star review, 10 out of 10. They are also producing Tori's podcast, the
Red Monkey.
I'm like, what is it called? The Red Monkey podcast. Mm-hmm. So definitely want to, you know, give a little follow if you feel like learning about
rock things. I don't know what they're doing. What are they doing? What are they even talking about? Do we know? I don't know. Anyway, but the whole reason why I brought it up was because he's so cute. He's like, smash that like button. And I'm like, oh my goodness, why? Why do we do this? What is the smashing? Do we have to smash? Why do we have to smash the like button? Although, like this and follow for more. But why do we have to smash it? Do we know? We don't know. I don't know.
I don't even know what that means.
It's like smash the like button, like hit it, I guess.
Instead of just click hit the button, you smash it.
Here's the thing, minimal effort, right? Why are we using such aggressive language for a click? I don't understand. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. This is your hosts, Rosie and Tessa, and we're signing off.
Bye.
Adios. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Radically Well podcast. This podcast is produced by Rosie Acosta and Tessa Tovar. Production by Sapphiris Media. Music by Monogram Sound. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.